Something's going on. God's moving. Luke chapter 13, please. We're picking up in verse 14 today. Jesus just healed a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. For how many years? Anybody remember? Did I hear 18? Yes, I heard 18. I don't know what I heard, but that's the answer. 18 years going to the synagogue, going to church, time after time after time. Now she really meets the way, the truth, and the life, and she's healed. The homework was to go into Ephesians and use your tools. Use Blue Letter Bible as one tool that I gave for example. We all went through that last week. You actually use your cell phones and started learning about some of these words, how one word can be translated three different ways. The word for power. So the dunamis, the supernatural power of Christ, was demonstrated on this woman to heal her, to bring her natural state into a different state, to change. The kratos, the dominion that God has, that Christ has been given over everything. The ousousia, that's the name of Jesus. The authority he has. It's like the signing of the check. The authority, he's the one that signs the checks. It's not me that heals, it's not an elder that heals, it's Jesus Christ. It's him that's signing the check. It's him that delivers people. Praise God. And she was delivered. She was loosed of the spirit of infirmity. She's free. She's a free woman that Sabbath day. I'm thankful for a constitution in our country that preserves freedom of speech. Thankful for my fathers and my grandfathers. Thankful for William Myers, who served for that freedom. Lost his leg in France, laying there in a field. My seed in his loins, bleeding. His wound cauterized from the explosion. His company dead. Him being there for hours and hours, waiting for the med team to come. My life dependent on that. I'm thankful for that freedom. But no freedom can be compared to being set free from sin. I'm here to tell you that. I stand up here because of that. To experience healing where the only side effects are love, grace, truth, and life. You see the commercials with different drugs on, that are advertised, and they scramble this stuff at the end, and they get all this stuff in. And it's like, what are they talking about? You see someone walking, and they seem free of this disease or whatever. Then at the end, they tell you all about it. But when God heals, the side effects are only love, grace, truth, and life. Hear the words today. Be loose. Be set free. Hear even now Jesus speaking to you. This particular healing is not the first that's tied to a spiritual presence causing the sickness. A spirit of infirmity. The mute person in chapter 11 not too long ago, Jesus cast out a demon and he was healed. He was, whatever was wrong with him was being mute. He couldn't talk and hear those things. That demon was cast out. After that, a young man that was blind, but not dealing with a demon in that case, simply putting a clay healing agent on him, mud, applying to his eyes. Now a crippled, deformed woman all bent over for 18 years. In church, oddly enough. Her and the demon for those 18 years, faithfully attending. Come on in, bring your demons. Come on. All are welcome, but not all will stay. The demons must go. The darkness must leave. 18 years of church should not happen. Today is the day to be delivered and be set free. Not another Sabbath will you see this bent figure of this woman. She will come in the next Sabbath, rejoicing. So our text begins today with the response. The loggers showing up, the ones with the logs in their eyes. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, anybody know what indignation is? Well, it is just like it sounds. That Jesus healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them there come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. You can get healed, no problem at all. We're all for that. We're all for people growing in God, but it has to be just like this. What you did was wrong, Jesus. Then the Lord answered, said unto him, you hypocrite. Does not each of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass, the donkey, from the stall, and lead him away to the watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, you can imagine looking at them saying, 18 years, this shouldn't be going on. Be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day. And when he had said these things, all his adversaries, praise God, were ashamed. That doesn't always happen, but at least it impacted him that, to that extent. And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Great day in the synagogue with Jesus teaching. The loggers responding, of course, with truth leading the way, they thought. How fertile the soil Christ makes with all his digging and dunging. We just read about that a few verses ago, a couple of Sundays ago. Digging and dunging with a tree that wasn't bearing fruit. Fruit was happening now before them. Real life was happening. People being set free. How fertile the soil Christ makes. His presence in humanity digs and it dungs. It puts fertilizer in the soil of humanity. It prepares the soil. How rich a soil he makes. But not all will be fruitful. No matter of all the digging and the dunging, the tragedy is not all will be fruitful. But your invitation is to be fruitful. Your calling is to be fruitful. And it's that what you need to be concerned with. And it's the fruit that other people will taste and see that the Lord is good. You see, these folks that were in the synagogue for these 18 years already considered their soil to be good. So blind with self-righteousness that they would not see what was even before them. Eyes darkened with judgmentalism, not only blind for their own sakes, but destructive in what they were saying and doing. Jesus, of course, has the discernment to deal with her properly, understand her need, and reach it. It wasn't her touching Jesus like the previous woman that touched the hem of his garment. It wasn't a remedy of spit and clay, but a spirit of sickness that had to be cleared, had to be cast out. In this case, there is no communication back and forth with a demon as happened in other cases when a spirit was cast out. He simply declares her to be free. Thou art loosed, set free. No interaction with a demon as far as the demon recognizing Jesus as it has happened in the past. So you don't always hear a voice of the demon. And when you're praying for someone, you might not even realize a spirit of infirmity is being cast out. Something so beautiful, gone unrecognized, and in effect turned into something bad. That's what judgmentalism looks like in real life right here. One of the spiritual bondages we've been looking at on Wednesday nights, Patty mentioned, being set free from different spiritual bondages brought forth in the book of James. How is it done? How does judgmentalism do its destructive work? You're seeing it take place right here. It takes the law of God, which is perfect, and uses it in an imperfect way. They were correct. It was the Sabbath. They were correct. It says there's 6 days in which men ought to work. So far, so good. Now, you can put a line right there where they're talking about that, where the Pharisees, the rulers, say in verse 14, you could have put a line there where they quote the law. There are 6 days in which men ought to work. And then therefore, right there, your translation might not say therefore, but you put a line right there. That's where they fall off the boat. That's where judgmentalism is being made obvious to us today. The conclusion that they drew from the law, applying the law, is where it became judgmentalism. It became legalism. It became death. She would be another year, 19 years, 20 years, 21 years, all crippled up because of their judgmentalism. if they had their way. This is a great example of judgmentalism. It is a grand deception for the church. Grand. It's the worst. It's the worst. It's a grand deception. Defiling the beautiful, glorious work of God. Someone might say, I don't get it. Does the law say that or not? Are we to obey God or not? Yes, it does. And the law is perfect and it is true. Look at this carefully and you will become a witness to a key to following Christ or becoming dead in legalism and works. This is such a powerful example. I'm going to camp here for today. I don't know if we'll get actually into the next verses after this. So relax a little bit. When's he going to move on? I've been there. You won't become a witness today in the scripture of a very important key to following Christ or becoming dead in legalism and works in a grand deception that's out there. This is such a powerful example. Too many people have begun in the spirit and have taken the fork in the road at some point in their life of dead works and legalism and judgmentalism. What's begun in the spirit has died. An example of a whole denomination are out there. Examples are that someone has saw something and they said, hey, we've got to do the Sabbath. We've got to do the Sabbath. And there's a whole denomination that's all about that. Just about the Sabbath, as these guys were preaching. It becomes what they worship. That's what they glorify. It's an imperfect use of what is perfect. You see it. You see what's happening here. If you see it, you're well on your way in your walk with Christ. If you don't, hang on, because we're not done yet today. Let's study the response Jesus gives in verse 15 and 16. The Lord answered, "You hypocrites, you hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox and his donkey from the stall and lead him away to the watering? Don't you water your ox? Don't you give your dog food today on your way to church? And ought this woman, being a daughter of Abraham..." Oh, somebody forgot. "And ought this woman..." But not for the same reason they did. "Who Satan has bound, be freed? 18 years without water of life. And you're willing to give your ox a little water today?" He points to something as simple as an act they do on the Sabbath. They water their animals. They untie them and they lead them to get water. He compares this woman who's been tied up for 18 years wanting to get to this water, the living water. The timing for her blessing had come and they couldn't see past the log in their eye. That's what Maddie got for his birthday yesterday. He got a log, but it's not for his eye. You can ask him what it's for. The timing of her blessing had come and they couldn't see past the log in their eye. This is wrong and that. How could God bless against his word, against the perfect law? Wouldn't it be better if everything was kosher and Jesus just healed on some other day? That way the law wouldn't be violated. You could hear the things going on in their mind. Maybe you've been there. I have. Jesus, isn't there a more perfect way you could have done this? No! What Jesus did was and is perfect. Do you see it yet? Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Some may recall a skit that we did on one of the Wednesday nights recently. And that's where we had the truth leading the way and couldn't find the life. But it's the way that leads the truth to life. I'm going to expound on that today. If it's not clear, it will be now. And that was our skit for judgmentalism. The way leads the truth. Together they find life. Nothing is compromised. Jesus is the representation of the way, truth, and life, and is never compromised. He is the one we follow. The truth is the Sabbath, 6 days work, one rest, clearly put out here. The way leads truth and life is found. The ox gets water, the woman is healed. Was truth compromised? Not one jot or one tittle of the law would be compromised by Christ. Yet it is the whistleblower that gets red-faced and feel like they're defending something important that said, hey, there's been a violation. They even feel somewhat gracious in saying, well, you can get your healing on some other one of the days here, justifying their self-righteousness and their hypocrisy. They are allowing truth to lead the way to find life. No. This is a tragedy. This is a tragedy happening here. It's a tragedy of many Christians. Truth leading the way is the blind leading the sighted. In the scripture, we discover the way, truth, and we find life. The way is grace that leads truth, and life is found. A woman is set free. An ox is watered. If it's the Sabbath, the 6 days we work in one day, if that's leading the way here, she would never be healed. She would never be healed. It's the way of grace that's leading truth, and life is found. The amazing thing of all of this is the in Christ. All of this, the way, the truth, and the life, it's all in Jesus. It's all in one person. Jesus is not saying two wrongs make a right here. He's not saying that because you water your ox, I can heal this woman. He's saying there is something blind about truth. It's an illumination. It's a light that illuminates. When it becomes a lamp unto my feet, it's a path that is illuminated that I find. The path was already there. The light can be pointed anywhere, but if the path is not doing the leading, then you will fall off a cliff, no matter how bright your light is. You will fall off the cliff of legalism and death. You will miss life. You get it yet? I'm not done. I'm not even close to being done. You will get it. My goodness, the path is beautiful. And the light is beautiful. Neither is compromised, but rather coordinated to lead to life. All of this is following one person, Christ. This is what it means to have a personal relationship. We say it all the time. Do we know what it means? Do we know what it means to have a personal relationship with Christ? You're following the way, the truth, and the life. And life abundant with God. Jesus is this light. He is the truth. He is the path. He is the way. He is the life. He's the freedom, the healing, the strength, the joy, the fruit. It's all in Christ. Brother, I'm in Christ. Do you hear Him? Do you follow Him? Let's learn about His way. Let's study His truth. Let's be set free today. Let's be loosed in the name of Jesus. This is such a huge one. I don't want to leave here quickly to touch on it and move on. So many people, so many churches bathed in it. Denominations sprung up. Huge buildings with edifices dedicated to this judgmentalism, this dead orthodoxy. Judgmentalism has the truth, and it uses that to cut its own path through the woods. I've got my flashlight, and you're hacking things through the woods. It's not following the way. We've got the Sabbath, and here's what we're doing with it. We're going to cut through all these trees here. No, the path is over here. Shine the light over here. Judgmentalism has the truth. It has the truth. It's very good with that. Very good with that. You have your elders and your pastors. They fall into this quite a few times. People that have grown in the Lord for a while. This is the fork they fall into. It's using the truth and cutting your own path through the woods with that truth. I've got my light. I'm on my own way. It's your way. And it's a bad way. There's great warning that comes with us. It often leads to assumptions and confusion. Oh, now I see the whole woods. Maybe it's this way or that. It's great to have that light. It's great to have the illumination of truth. Heal on any of the 6 days. Yeah, that's the path, but not the Sabbath. Know that this is an example of using light to lead the way. Truth cannot lead. It must find the path. Truth brings us to the path, and that path leads to life. The difference is discernment. Discernment is often a wolf in sheep's clothing. That is the appearance of discernment. It's judgmentalism in reality, hidden in religious terms. how we need real discernment, real spiritual gift of discernment. We need to discern the path with a light showing in full brilliance. Light is omnidirectional, goes in every direction. It simply lights up the woods that we're in, this jungle we live in. All of truth, it's omnidirectional, it's rich, there's so much with truth. Truth says this, yeah, and it says this. Where's the direction? Where's the path? Ah, I'm glad you asked. The Bible says this and it says this. It feels like I'm being pulled in two directions. Good! Good! You've discovered the omnidirectional presence of light. Now you need to find the path. Now you need to find the way. Good, now you're getting it. Someone's understanding out there. You're getting to the place of needing discernment. We need to discern the path with the light showing in full brilliance. All of the truth from Genesis to Revelation, not one yod or tittle, not anything to be excused, held in perfection. That light is omnidirectional. It lights up the woods. All of the truth. We don't take one verse and run away with it. All of the truth. The way, however, is not omnidirectional. It's very specific. It's a very narrow path. It is God's will for the moment. That's the path. For that instance, for this scenario. And it's a path that leads you to life. You will all of a sudden, wow, this is alive. This conversation that I'm having with this person is alive. Man, there's stuff flowing between us. There's koinonia. There's healing. There's stuff happening. How did it happen? I'm on the path. I don't know. It's a path. It's led to life. Thanks, Asher. Amen. It's God's will for that time, that moment. You're on the path following Christ. He is the path. And that path leads to life, and He is the life. Truth works all the way along that path until the life is found. You don't set your light down and keep following the path, you'll run into a tree. Truth is always illuminated, every step of the way. The roots that you can see, the skunk over there. It causes you to say, Ben, go get the skunk. Every step of the way, the full brilliance of truth is illuminating and keeping that path illuminated. Don't take your eyes off the path, though. The ox needs the water. The woman needs to be set free, folks. Discernment is the discovery of the path. It is a gift of the Spirit. It is the following of Christ, not the following of my opinion of what truth is saying. Well, I think it means this. Bonk! Right in a tree I walk into. How many times I've done that? I'm surprised my head didn't have splinters in it. I think we should go this way. I think we should go that way. We need to find His way. Discernment illuminates the path. Some have mistaken judgmentalism for discernment, and even vice versa. God has given you true discernment to call it, well, I'm afraid to go down that path of being judgmental. What's the difference between the two? Seeing clearly. Seeing clearly. Matthew 7:5, you hypocrite, same thing that Jesus said today, addressing the hypocrisy of judgmentalism. First cast out the what? Maddie's birthday gift? Cast out Maddie's birthday gift from your eye, the log. You must have missed that part. Then shall, here it is, here's the big thing, you can underline it, Matthew 7:5. Then now we'll be able to what? See clearly. To see clearly, to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. Now you're talking about real ministry there. Yeah, your brother, your sister has something going on in life. You can't reach it because of the log in your eye. To be able to love on them, to be able to minister to them, to be able to do what you need to do in their life. True ministry is to be able to see clearly, to have discernment. Discernment is the path. It discerns the path we're to go on. All the way, lit with Genesis to Revelation of truth. Not compromising it at all. He tells us to cast that beam out of our own eye. You have the ability to do so. You don't have to wait for a preacher to pray over you to, you know, cast this thing out of me. He says, you do it. Take it out. He's already done it for you on the cross. You simply got to do it by faith. To agree in faith. Say amen, Jesus. Both cannot coexist. Discernment and judgmentalism, it's like wearing two pair of glasses at the same time. Doesn't quite work. You'll never be able to discern anything when the sin of judgmentalism, yes, it's a sin, is active. It's a sin that leads to death. Your own and people around you. Judgmentalism is holding up the lamp of truth and making your own path with it. Where does all this action take place? In your eyes. How you perceive things. Jesus said, the eye is the lamp of the body. The judgmentalism takes place in the eye. How you see things. How you perceive things. Well, praise God, I don't have that problem. Yeah, I do. And you do. We all do. We're born with it. It's the original sin. That we're on a throne that we don't belong. You can be as gods. It is part of our flesh that continually wants to lift itself off the cross and go back to work. Man, that thing's always trying to get off the cross. That and everything else that's listed up there. It's called partiality in James. It's called judgment in Matthew. And it's called sin. Bottom line. And it's a really, really, really bad sin for a believer. Why is it really, really bad? Because it threatens the one thing that saves us, that saves all of us, and that's grace. It threatens the only thing that's going to save you, and that's the grace of God. Judgmentalism, hear me! Please hear me! Judgmentalism threatens the only thing that will save you. That's the grace of God. You can fall short of the grace of God. That's one way. That's the only way I'm familiar with. Falling short of the grace of God into judgmentalism. In the same way you judge, you will be judged. That doesn't sound like grace anymore, does it? You've fallen away from something. It's a really, really, really bad sin for a believer. It threatens the one thing that saves you and the people around you. Grace. Grace is the way. Jesus is the grace of God. It's the blood trail to life. If you are a hunter, you know all about blood trails and lamps. Carefully finding a speck here and there, then losing it, then circling until you find it again, putting out markers of tissue paper where your last blood was found. Oh, the care we take to find the prize. It's a successful hunt. Jesus is the way, and that way is grace, the blood of Christ. He bled for each one of us. There's a blood trail out there for you waiting. It's the riches of God. Jesus is the grace of God. Do you want to follow him? You will find him on that path of grace. His blood will lead you. His truth will illuminate that path. I don't know where it is. I don't know where it is. Get in the Word of God. Day and night, meditate in it. Chew on the cud. The illumination will come. It's like, that's the path right there. I see it now. Hold on to the truth and keep walking. Keep walking. Because you'll lose the blood. It'll happen. You will find the life at the end of this trail. Something that cannot be compared to. I wouldn't trade it. Would you trade it for anything that this world has to offer? Lose your life and find it in him. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. It's not on a checklist of things that we do on our Christian journey. Yeah, I got the salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. Check that off and now I'm on. No, that is the journey. That's the whole journey. Kelsey, you're on a journey that's of the grace of God. You're never going to get off of that. No matter what it looks like, you're in a different state with different people. You're still on that blood trail. The life is the prize, and that life is Jesus Christ. Finding your life in him and losing your life to everything else. It is the journey. It's the head trail of our salvation. It's at the head of the trail, and it's at the peak of the trail. We continue on it every day of our life. You may have heard me say before, if you're going to err, err on the side of grace. And I copy that actually from another preacher. And I get what he's saying. Grace is the covering we want to stay under, not judgment. Our study in James makes this point abundantly clear. Unforgiveness is a form of judgment and falling from grace. What do we have left over to cover us if we have fallen out of grace? Do you feel a little bit nervous about it? Good, repent. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. I see revival in this area happening now, and for the past 6 weeks it's been happening in an abundant way. Of course, it's always been going, but more intensity. Living water, it's happening. I see people coming up like they did in Acts and having things in common, just giving things to people. I see generosity with one another. I see freely receiving, freely giving. I see judgment stopping and stifling the goodness of the Spirit, but that's going to be defeated. It's breathing its last. It's time to repent. Get back on the blood trail. Put your lamp out and look for that speck of blood. Get excited about it when you see it. The sermon speaks to discovering the path and staying on that path. Without truth, you'll never see the blood on the ground. Without the blood on the ground, you'll never find life. If you've received God and been born again, you have this blood-finding capacity called discernment. Anyone can hold truth up like a lamp. You can pick up a Bible at Walmart. But to know the way, you must be born again. To be able to see the blood, to recognize it, this is the path, is a tool of the Spirit. It's spiritually discerned. It's an essential in our gift of the Spirit. You don't need a preacher or teacher or a prophet for knowing the way and following Christ. It's a personal relationship. Do you get it? Do you get it today? If I'm counseling someone, I'm typically adding more light. Let me turn on this light. That's all I'm doing. I'm turning more light on so they can see the path for themselves. I can't point the path. They've got to see the blood for themselves. And then all of a sudden when the light bulb goes off, they know that's the path. That's a wonderful thing. It's like, go for it, man. Go for it. Go! You need to be born again. If you don't know that discernment, if the things are sounding strange to you, just say, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm an empty can, an empty soda can. I need to be redeemed. I want my life to be found in you right now, Lord God. I've said prayers in the past, and I don't even know, Lord Jesus. I just know that I need to get on this path, and I need to get on it today. I accept the blood that was shed on the cross for me and all my sins, Lord God, past, present, and future. You've purged me. You've cleansed me, Lord God. The work is done. Fill me with your Spirit, God. How I need to have this vision to be able to see, Lord, how to walk. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. God has healed you now. God has healed you. God has breathed his Spirit upon you. You're going to live forever with him. He's going to show you this path. You're going to get excited when you see the smallest speck of blood. It's going to bring such joy to you. That fruit, that joy is the life that God has promised, the abundant life. Amen. Jesus gave this woman healing. The Pharisee gave the ox water. There's no argument on those things being good. Both of those. It is the giving of those things that we get tripped up in judgmentalism. Giving is perhaps the greatest challenge. Here's where I'll finish today, is in the greatest challenge. How do I know I'm on that path? How do I know? What are the things that will kind of reveal this? Giving. Giving. Not to that box. I'm talking about giving to each other. And that's what's happening here today, and that's the message. If God has spoken to you, you know a need, pick something up. It's a stooping process of receiving grace. It's a humbling process. God, you saved me. You've given me grace, and now let me give it to someone else. Don't be too proud to pick something up. God will show you who to give it to. Set someone free today. Giving is the greatest challenge. For us having discernment over judgmentalism. Praise God. Our actions reveal our hearts. This is the mirror that reflects our identity. Giving is a mirror that reflects our identity. Giving one to another, submitting one to another, all things being in common. Are we following Christ or are we in darkness? Are we walking in the light? Are we on that path? Or are we in darkness? Intensity's coming up here, folks, so just hang on just a second. I got to finish up. Give to every man that asks of thee. This comes from Luke chapter 6. We already covered this many weeks ago. Give to every man that asks thee. Of him that takes away thy goods, of them, don't ask it again. Somebody taking your wallet, don't ask for it again. Someone asks of thee, give it to him. As you would have men do to you, do to them likewise. You want to get challenged on this teaching today? There's the challenge. Give to every man that asks of thee, and of him that takes away thy goods, ask them not again. As you would do to that man the golden rule, do also likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also do that. If you do good to them which do good to you, what thank you have? What reward is there? For sinners also do the same. If you lend to them and hoping you to receive, you deserve it, what's that? Sinners also do that. Anybody can do that. But if you love your enemies and do good and lend to them, hoping for nothing again, your reward shall be great, great. And you shall be the children of the highest, the children on the trail. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful, have grace, as your Father is also merciful. You might have heard someone say that the Word of God is the will of God. I agree with that. The Word of God must be fulfilled, and it's his will that way. But I don't agree that it means you pick up the Bible and read a verse, then just do it. I don't agree with that. That's like turning on your flashlight, and whatever way it points, you run into a bunch of prickers. There's a verse. Appreciate the enthusiasm, but it's not good. Kind of flipping the coin here a little bit. Both have to work together. You use the truth to illuminate the path. And that path is grace. Look for the blood. Look for the blood. Nevertheless, this is a powerful light here. The truth about giving, which I just read. Chapter 6. You will discover, I guarantee it, a log in your eye in such a situation. You want to find the log? Yeah, just deal with this. A log that we all have. Jesus empowers us to remove the log so we can see clearly to help. And it's wonderful because that path is a very specific direction and it might be something totally different than you ever imagined. You are using the light not to run into a tree but to carefully illuminate the blood, to find the trail, to see the path to take. We will all stand before the one who is at the end of the trail, by the way. You see, it's not a down deer, but a crucified Savior. The blood trail leads to the one that gave the blood. It's his flesh that we consume to live. It sounds gross in the physical, and it is, but it is meant to jar us in the reality of Christ and bring us to a hope of his glory. His blood is the way that God so loved us, he gave while we were deserving, no, yet sinners. Do you get it now? Not to condemn us. We're already condemned. Already lost without hope. But he saved us. He reached down to us. He dug into the soil and manured into it. Regardless of our deserving it. That's grace. Do you get it? This is the way of God. It's the blood trail. You can underline ashamed in verse 17 if you want today. As we try to finish here. That's a good response. We should have sorrow over the times in our lives where judgment has caused us to follow the wrong path. The things that could have been if we were to carefully just look for the blood. We cannot find this blood without the truth to light up. The two lead to life. If I say the way is grace and someone says, okay, let's sin so grace may abound, they're trying to follow the blood trail. without the lamp. Get it? Grace is all about, wait a minute, get your light on. The two work hand in hand or foot by foot. Loving grace and truth as our stable walk. I had so much more on this. I just started. We got finished though. I'll pray. I can't believe how much I wrote on this. Yesterday and through more just kept coming and coming and coming. I'll talk about it a little bit more next Sunday and get on to the parables. Talk about mustard seeds and yeast. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for the time that you have anointed and called us to be in. We're not here by accident, Lord God. You've called us to hear things, Lord God, that would change our lives. We pray as this last song goes forward, Lord, that we would look deeply in. We would look really deeply in. We would have insight, Lord God. Now to be your children, Lord God, to go after you with our full heart, our full mind, our full soul, and full body, all of our strength. Praise you. Our Lord's got you something for you. Just listen to him as the song goes forward. You don't have to sing it. I want you to do more listening. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus at the center of it all. Praise God. Bless someone today. Please take this example that's on the floor before you as God's grace and share that with someone today. And allow God to lead you in that way. And I would say, happy trials to everyone. Amen.